Akyahi, just let me know. Vrisha, O bull. Bhadram, good. Va, for you. Sadunam, of the honest. Akrita agasam, of those who are offenseless. Atmavairupya, deformation of the self. Kartaram, the doer. Paritanam, of the sons of Prita. Kirti Dushanam, blackmailing the reputation. Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O bull, you are offenseless. You are offenseless and thoroughly honest. Therefore, I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations, which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Prita. Please repeat, O bull. You are offenseless and thoroughly honest. Therefore, I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations, which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Prita. Purport. The reputations of the reign of Maharaj Ramchandra and that of the kings who followed in the footsteps of Maharaj Ramchandra, like the Pandavas and their descendants, are never to be forgotten because in their kingdom, offenseless and honest living beings were never in trouble. The bull and the cow are the symbols of the most offenseless living beings. Because even the stool and urine of these animals are utilized to benefit human society. The descendants of the sons of Prita, like Maharaj Parikit, were afraid of losing their reputations. But in the modern days, the leaders are not even afraid of killing such offenseless animals. Herein lies the difference between the reign of those pious kings and the modern states ruled by irresponsible executive heads without knowledge of the codes of God. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Nulitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Guru Deva Chalam Pankam Langayate Girivad Kipatamande Sri Guram Dinitam Parmananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So this another purport, chock full of all sorts of incredible foresight, as the verse is. As we were reading some verses back, that who could have foreseen the state of affairs in the world today? How irresponsible and offensive society has become. The Lord tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita that for the respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Can you imagine? And we see that in some small way in present-day society, that people are very careful, and at least some are very careful about their reputation. And they go to great lengths to try and preserve it. Although they're quite nefarious in all of their activities. Of course, there are some people who are quite honest and they don't have to work at it. And just naturally, they become glorified. Just as Srila Prabhupada didn't have to go around glorifying himself. But he was naturally glorified because of his qualities. And we're seeing that here in this purport. Srila Prabhupada points out that the reputations of such great personalities such as Ramchandra and others, Maharaj Parikit, Maharaj Yadu, Janaka, the list is there, Bharat Maharaj. There's so many wonderful examples, Yayati, there's so many examples given in the Vedic literatures of great personalities who just simply by their qualities were very much respected. Quite the opposite, again, of modern society where people go to great lengths to try and preserve their image, whether it's by physical means or whether it's by political means or whatever. Even to the point where they, when something is discovered about them, they go to great lengths to try and cheat, lie, steal, whatever, even commit suicide. Last resort. After you can't cover everything up, last resort, well, let's just commit suicide. I'm out of here. But actually, you're not. Actually, you have to come back again and again and again for such nefarious activities. So, again, as the Lord says, for the respectable person, such as Ramchandra and the Pandavas, the difference being that they understood the values of life, which just any common person can understand. Anybody with a little bit of common sense can understand how valuable the human form of life is. Of course, all life. As Vaishnava, Surita Sarvadehinam, the Vaishnavas, of course, the devotees of the Lord, they're respectful and appreciative of all life. It's not that they're just concerned about the whales or the wolves or somebody that's in some jungle, the teeny little birds that are, or the frogs that might get washed away by some flood. Let's do something to save the frogs. It goes further than that. The devotees of the Lord understand the values of life. Therefore, they don't take it cheaply. As we see in, again, in present society, people have no regard for the environment in general. At least a certain section, I should say. The vast majority have some concern. But the narcissistic leaders have a different idea. They have some megalomaniac idea that everything revolves around them. And as a result, they don't have any regard for other forms of life. What to speak of even the human form. There's a very beautiful conversation between the Avadhut Brahman and King Yadu, where he tells King Yadu that after many, many births, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhavanam Janmanam Ante, after many, many births, finally one is afforded the rare human form of life. Again, it's rare. There are so many millions of living beings in the universe. Jai Sisi Rukmini Dwarkanath. But, and then finally one gets an opportunity or achieves the human form of life. It's a rare opportunity. Because in that human form of life, one can achieve the highest perfection. And therefore, of course, we understand what that highest perfection is. That is spiritual perfection or liberation. Therefore, the sober human being, the sober person, should endeavor quickly, without delay. One should endeavor quickly, for as long as this body is there, because at any moment we understand that it's subject to death. So very quickly, for as long as the body is there, one should endeavor for that perfection before it falls down dead. Because again, it can fall down at any moment. We all have experience. There's so many accounts. One can fall flat in a moment. We were mentioning the other day about how everyone has some experience, but after talking to one businessman about taking a book, the gentleman just brushed it off. Ah, get out of the way, you weirdo. Go do something, get a job, or whatever. And walked away and fell down dead 5 minutes later. This is it happens regularly. Therefore, the Puranas state that the human form of life is spoiled if one doesn't take advantage of it. If one doesn't take advantage of this human form of life, the beautiful, there's a beautiful long verse, but it describes how one is considered a conceited fool, not having taken shelter of the lotus feet of Govinda. It's very unfortunate. Therefore, again, such great personalities such as the Pandavas or Maharaj Yudhisthira, in this case here, we're hearing the glories of Maharaj Prickett, understood the values of life. And thus they established a society based on spiritual principles. And that foundation has to be there. Otherwise, it's a civilization of just cats and dogs. It's a civilization that really has no benefit. People are engaged in so many animalistic activities, but if that, but the distinction is that that eating and sleeping, mating and defending, it can be engaged in a proper way for human advancement, according to religious principles, and thereby achieving liberation. That is the benefit, and that is the reputation of Vedic culture. And here we're, Prabhupada is very nicely pointing out that the reputation of such great personalities such as Lord Ram and his descendants, the Pandavas and their descendants, they were all such personalities. They were able to establish society in a on spiritual principles. Because again, it's a razor's edge. Prapyavarani bodhata, the Bhagavatam describes, or the Vedic literatures describe, that the human form of life, it's like a razor's edge. You can be going along and with a little bit of inattention, immediately some danger is there. Just as in the course of shaving, if one is inattentive, you can hurt oneself. So similarly, in the human form of life, if we're not careful as we're going along, and we're not engaged properly, there's every danger of falling into the abyss of material life. And therefore, the such great personalities such as the Pandavas and other great kings mentioned in the Vedic literatures were there to give guidance. In the Niti Shastra, it's described that the kings have, the rulers have five duties. The first was to punish the wicked. And we see that is absent in the world nowadays. The world is overrun by wicked persons. And instead of being corrected, they're facilitating, creating an even more hellish condition. But the proper standard is that the rulers would punish the wicked. There's no question of, just as here, Maharaj Prickett is immediately, he's alarmed. Who is the perpetrator of this? Who's inflicted these mutilations upon you? And he's ready to stand strong and punish this rascal. So the rulers, again, were conscious of that, punishing the wicked, but also rewarding the righteous. That when the if someone is following the principles of human life, at least the basic principles, well, to speak of Vedic principles, but just at least the basic principles of human society, respect for other living beings, respect for other humans, which is totally, again, absent because of the crazed mentality of modern society. There are no righteous people, practically. But in Vedic society, in Vedic culture, again, those who were following the religious principles carefully, they were rewarded. They were given facilities. Festivals were created where they could hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Certain facilities were provided. There was no shortage of food. There was no shortage of housing. There was no shortage of the basic necessities of life. And there was a plan, there would be a plan for revenue. Revenue by just means. Not the indiscriminate pillaging and a taxation that the even the poorest person has to tolerate. No, there was a system by which one would provide a certain amount of from one's say the farmer is growing a certain amount would be given as taxation. And those funds would be, again, turned around for the benefit of the citizens to, again, create some very nice community, or living conditions, or just basic, let's have a park. Again, these things are they're far from the modern idea. And that impartiality would be there in giving favors. Not that we, someone gives you some payoff, or someone glorifies you, that you're such a wonderful personality and perfect in every way. Okay, you get this post. Okay, we'll give you this. Not that you become some blind worshiper. No, impartiality was there in giving favors. Whoever deserves it gets a certain favor or responsibility. And then finally, protection of the state. So these were just basic practices of the Vedic rulers, such great personalities such as Ramchandra, and again, Maharaj Bharat. You can go down the line. All of these great personalities were just like that. They were very careful to punish those who were wicked, to reward those who were righteous, to develop revenues by just means, to be impartial in offering favors and protecting the state. Here, Maharaj Prickett, immediately he's ready to stand up and perform his duty. Chanakya Pandit also describes, recommends that leniency encourages bad qualities. When society is just overcome by low-class leaders, they have absolutely no good qualities. It's quite the opposite. They're full of bad qualities. Pavrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidirasara. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that they don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. They have no idea. You can see it practically speaking. Modern day leaders in some countries, they have no idea what they're doing. It's just, oh, I feel it. Oh, I feel it in my heart. Or I just, my brain told me to do like this. They have no idea. What to speak? Nasaucham sapijacham. They're unclean in every in all their activities. Their mental activities are filthy. Their words are filthy. Their physical activities are filthy. There's no proper behavior. There's no truthfulness. It's all animalistic. But again. It's interesting. It's just incredible how the Bhagavatam is foretelling us what the condition of modern society, the Kali Yuga, will be. And Srila Prabhupada gives these wonderful purports with such deep insight into what's actually going to be coming, what we can foresee. These are not, they're not empty words. I was thinking about it the other day. Every word that Srila Prabhupada gives here in the Bhagavatam has such deep, profound meaning. It has meaning for the next 10,000 years. Prabhupada wrote this in the early, 60s? These purports? In the early 60s, if not, in the early 60s. And we're in the 2000s now. What to speak of what's going to happen in the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, whatever centuries, if we're, of course, we won't be around, but we'll know. Who knows what will happen? It's profound. Prabhupada is giving all of this knowledge, and it's happening right before our eyes. It's happening right before our eyes. Again, we were reading the other day how Who could foresee that these things were going to be happening? Prabhupada makes that a point in the purport in one of the verses. Who could foresee that such low class and dastardly people will be leading society? Asyatama pratistam che jagaravarnishvara, because they don't believe that there's that they believe that this world is unreal, it has no foundation, there's no God. We can do whatever we like. Oh yeah, yeah, I God, sure. But in actuality, who cares? I don't feel like doing it today. Or I feel like we'll do like this and we'll do like that. Well, if somebody said this, well, who cares about him? I'm in charge. This is what we're going to do. So this kind of cheating is most unfortunate. But such great personalities as Ramchandra and the other great saintly personalities, Raja Rishis, that we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, were not like that. They were devotees. Because they were devotees of the Lord. So cheta tovi mukate chetas indriyarta. They're actually in great anxiety for the fools and rascals, such crazy people who are engaged in such activities. And only the devotees can feel this compassion. That is a fact. And therefore, Prabhupada makes this point. Herein lies the difference between the reign of those pious kings and modern states ruled by irresponsible executive heads without knowledge of the orders of God. Karmana daiva natrena. The Lord has a plan. There is no doubt. And we're all having to reap the results of our activities. Everyone is. It's not that you can hide someplace and you won't be discovered. No. Actually, the Lord is there. He's witnessing everything. And such cheaters and rascals who are engaged in such activities, they will certainly be corrected. Just as here, the personality of Kali, he thought he could go do something in some corner, but the Lord, through his representative, Maharaj Prickett, he was discovered and he's reprimanded. So similarly, the cheaters of the present day, there's no doubt they'll be corrected by the law of God. There's no question. Some or other. It may not necessarily happen in our lifetimes, and we may even witness some things day to day. But the fact is that in due course of time, the Lord will correct such conditions. And, of course, He's also making that in a very merciful way in this day and age, and that is through the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the distribution of these transcendental literatures of Srila Prabhupada, the distribution of the holy name. There is a certain period there that is going to be corrected. There's no doubt. We can be a part of it. That's wonderful. But when this age ends, there's no doubt that the Lord will come and correct such sinful personalities. But we have an opportunity right now to make an impact, and that is by pushing forward this Krishna conscious movement, making these books available, making this knowledge available to those innocent souls who can see it and take advantage of it before, again, this body falls down dead. Any questions or comments? Nikirta? Krishna is impartial. So he's fulfilling the desires of all living beings. And if their desire is to be engaged in a materialistic life and engage in such and such activities, then Krishna fulfills that desire. Well, the ordinary course of Kali Yuga is that it's going to be degraded. There's no question of that. You cannot stop that. There's a certain cycle that the Lord has created, and at the end of this age, things will become so hellish that it all gets annihilated by and corrected by Kalki and by the dissolution of the universe. And then again, creation comes in. So there is a natural course that has to be there. But there is a period of time where those who are intelligent can make the most of it, and that is by joining the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the devotees of the Lord are so compassionate that still, despite all of this, they do whatever they can to help the conditioned souls. And Krishna takes that into account and appreciates that. And is impartial in his favoring such personalities. So our duty is simply to engage in Krishna service, and whatever the results may be, that is up to Krishna. That would be my answer. If anyone wants to add to it. Any other questions? Mataji?
Sometimes, you know, we hear that everyone was protected and nobody was hungry, and it sounds so ideal. But Raghunandan and I ran across this in India this year. It's from the Indian Heritage Museum. And it's a quote from Lord Macaulay, M-A-C-U-A-L-A-Y. Macaulay. He addressed the British Parliament on February 2nd, 1835. It's very short. He said he had been sent to India to see what the British could do to perhaps take over India. So when he came back, this was what he told the British Parliament. I have traveled across the length and breadth of India. I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Indians think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation.
Just see the demoniac. It is so...
amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the materialists have a very strong... selfish, of course, but they have a serious determination to destroy civilization, destroy God consciousness. They're very determined in their activities. There's no question, and we see it from years ago, and it's going to happen in the future as well. Millions of years ago, such personalities as Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, they were so determined to crush any sort of God consciousness or civility in society. And that's going to happen. That's going to continue happening. So just as they're determined to crush civilization, we also have to be just as determined to fight and preserve Krishna consciousness. There's no doubt about it. It's a serious battle. It's a real battle.
Just one quick question. Well, first, I just want to say class is very enlivening, and it's a big wake-up call, and especially your insights into Prabhupada's purports. I had a question about this. You gave a very profound visual experience about a man. I didn't know whether it was from your personal book distribution at the airports, but someone...
Yeah.
You encouraged them and they dropped dead 5 minutes later. Was that an actual thing or a fake?
Oh, that's for real.
When was that? Where?
That was in Chicago O'Hare.
75?
75.
Thank you.
One more comment, then Prabhu.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. I had a question. As the material energy degrades further and further, what can we devotees do to, one, stay positive, and two, soften the transition for individuals who are attracted to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness but feel a lack of loving support during their migration?
What can we do? We can try and engage them in chanting of the holy names. I was listening to a very nice tape the other day, and Prabhupada was explaining how simply by chanting the holy names, everything is corrected. Everything is provided. So if we can somehow or other encourage people to simply chant the holy names of Krishna, because it's the yajna for this age. We can do so many things to try and help suffering conditions and the inequalities and the problems that are there in the world. We can try to address, you know, this thing or that thing, but that it's unlimited. We'll go on forever trying to do that. Just as soon as you solve this issue, then something else happens. So the real solution is to engage everyone, as many people as possible, in hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. That is the prescribed method for all of the anomalies of this modern age.
And do you have specific ways we can be more encouraging? Because I know Harinam turnout here is, you know,
well,
less
than
desirable.
Well, you can become more expert in your chanting. You can become more devoted in your practices. And when your practices are clean and pure, then your chanting becomes more effective. Prabhupada just chanted very simply, but it was so supremely pure that we've all benefited to this day from it. So it's simple, pure, and honest chanting. And Prabhupada explained on this tape that the secret to that is Trinadipi Sunichena, to always maintain that humble mentality in that practice. Bhavani, one last comment.
One of my god sisters, Jivanasati, she is married to Piri Mohan, the TP from Connecticut, Hartford. She joined when she was 16, and her father didn't want her to become a Hare Krishna. And he told her, she said she wanted to move into the temple, and he said to her, "Over my dead body." And then 2 days later, he actually died. He had a heart attack and died. So.
Haribol. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Krishna Sankirtan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.